Hey, everybody. Dennis Prager with Fireside Chat number
249.
Hey, by the way, big news. Everything good, Otto? Look, we have no idea, by the way, how long Otto will stay. We signed a new contract with him, but he's adamant about maximum half hour. So if we start late, he might leave. Good news. Megan has given birth to a healthy boy named Riley.
Girl.
Let's start this again. A healthy boy. Girl?
Girl.
Why do I think Riley's a boy? Not because of the pictures, but because of the name.
The name, yeah.
Okay. A healthy girl named Riley, who is adorable, by the way. We've seen pictures. We love you, Megan, and may you have a wonderful family life with only the usual amount of issues. You know, it's like when people say to me, hey, Dennis, how's everything going? Or I hope everything's going well. And I always respond, everything? For whom is everything going well? Anyway, you got a great husband, a great child, and a great you. And Otto has decided, for whatever reason, that having his head hang lower than his body is comfortable. It's a puzzle to me, but is he in the picture? Is his head now out? All right, it's, what can we do? Mm-hmm. All right. That was an inauspicious beginning, but everything is spontaneous on the Fireside Chat. By the way, I always mentioned to you, there's nothing written out. There's no teleprompter. I might add, I was thinking on the way, there's no makeup, which is probably obvious. But we really, this is really au naturel. I mean, not in the exact way it's usually said, but I think it's very healthy to have this opportunity just to say what's on my mind and then get your questions. So a few things I will begin with. One is there is a state of emergency called, what is it, in New York, Illinois, and California. Is that correct?
Well, I know for sure California.
I know, yes. Take a look. I think it's New York and Illinois. I think it's three states. Shockingly, they all have Democratic governors. Now, why would Democratic governors call states of emergency and Republican governors not? Whom you vote for is less important to me than that you know the differences between right and left. The use of government power to control people is always found on the left, always. That's part of what being left is. Expand government, and expand government even more. But why on God's earth is there even a state of emergency over monkeypox? When virtually no one, or perhaps no one, I don't know if anyone in America has even died of it. By the way, in addition to that, did you know that about 96% of those affected by it are men who have relations with men? In other words, almost always gay or bisexual men. This is not to stigmatize these men. It is to tell you the truth that it is not something that is of widespread danger. And by the way, look that up. The Washington Post, a doctor who has worked, or a person in public health who works in the gay community, is the one who wrote about this, that we're being lied to by all the health agencies that say anyone can get monkeypox. Yes, theoretically, but in reality, 96% of the people are, in fact, gay or bisexual men. We are lied to so much by health authorities because they don't believe truth is a value unto itself. Since they don't want to stigmatize gays, they lie to you, just as they did with AIDS when they said that it was an equal opportunity disease. It wasn't. It was overwhelmingly gay men and intravenous drug users. Truth is not a left-wing value. It's a liberal value. And it's a conservative value, but it's not a left-wing value. And this is just another example. I would add one more thing. I think that the right to declare a state of emergency should be removed from all government authorities. It has been so abused by the Democratic Party and the left, it should simply be abolished. I see zero use of states of emergency, given what has happened to it. That's it. There's no excuse any longer for it to happen. I did a, I don't know why this arose. Oh, yes, I know why it arose. It arose because this is the 40th anniversary, this literally this week, of my beginning in radio. It's a milestone, truly a milestone. And there was never an interruption. I've been on radio consistently for that long. So my column this week, it's up at DennisPrager.com and many other sites, is Reflections on 40 Years in Radio. One of the conclusions that I wrote about in thinking about my radio life, I was told a very, very intelligent thing by someone in radio when I began. I don't remember who it was. I'm just noting I didn't come up with this. Dennis, he said, never underestimate the intelligence of listeners and never overestimate their knowledge. That was brilliant. And it's turned out to be entirely accurate. So I'm going to tell you something very interesting. I do not recall ever thinking after speaking to a caller. And by the way, I have concluded tentatively that I have talked with, not to, but with more people than any living human being. 40 years of talking with, not again, not to, the president of China speaks to more people in 1 minute than I'll speak to in a lifetime, but with, I think I have spoken with more people than anyone living. With not here or there, it's just an interesting tidbit that does give my views on people some legitimacy since I've spoken with so many people. I never remember once, even people I fully disagreed with, even people I thought made stupid points, but I never thought they had a low IQ or poor brain matter. The problem with people's thinking does not emanate from their not having a good brain. Virtually everybody starts out life with a good brain. The difference is not brain matter. The difference is common sense, clarity, and values. Or if you will, common sense, clarity, and wisdom. The problem with people is not that they don't have a good brain. It's that they don't know how to use it. People don't rely on common sense. You're taught not to rely on common sense in college. You're told to listen to experts, even when they defy common sense. How did I know that closing schools for the last 2 years was an awful, abusive of children idea? I'm not a scientist. I'm not a public health official. I have common sense. If you read enough, you have common sense, and you have common sense, you would have concluded exactly as I did, closing schools was an atrocity, a total atrocity. And I'm very angry about it, in case you can't tell, because it hurt kids terribly and did nothing for their health and nothing for teachers' health. Sweden kept every school open every single day till the age of 16. No teachers died from kids. No kids died from teachers. No kids died from kids. Common sense and clarity are what enable you to navigate life, not a good brain. A good brain enables you to play chess. A good brain enables you to figure out mathematical computations or physics questions. I agree that you need a good brain. But by the way, does anybody really believe that physicists have more common sense than Uber drivers? I don't. It's not an insult to physicists. It's just one has nothing to do with the other. People spend much too much time thinking of their kids' brains. What do parents say so often when they're bragging about their kid or their grandchild? Brilliant. Oh, my God. my grandson, my granddaughter is brilliant. To which I'm always thinking, A, how do you know? B, who cares? Brilliant people are a dime a dozen. Common sense people, good people, people with character, they're not a dime a dozen. That's why I must admit, and I don't want to insult anybody, I can't think of a more useless group than Mensa. Look it up, M-E-N-S-A. I don't remember what it stands for, but I'll tell you what the qualification is. You have to have a certain IQ. To me, it would be as relevant as we have a special group for people with size 12 shoes. Okay? That's how much I give a damn about IQ. I don't know my IQ. Let's imagine for a moment I have an IQ that would qualify me for Mensa. I would sooner join a knitting club. And I have no interest in knitting, just for the record. We wildly, wildly overrate brains and underrate common sense and wisdom. And we're paying a huge price. A lot of people with good brains have particularly stupid ideas. It was intellectuals with high IQs who supported Stalin and communism, not the hard hat who supposedly wasn't as bright. Every hard hat is as good a brain as every professor, maybe a better brain, but they have more common sense. It's an important, very important point. I know what did they used to do? Oh, raise your child's IQ by 2 points. I don't remember all these ideas, like have them listen to Mozart while you're pregnant. Now, I'm crazy about classical music. I hope your kid appreciates Mozart, but I wouldn't do it because of the IQ issue. All right. Just thought I'd share that with you. All right, time for our video question. This is Megan Two's arm that you will see. And the very, very perceptive among you will note the difference between Megan One's arm and Megan Two's arm.
Do you want to do the birthday video or the video question?
Oh, yeah, though I didn't realize. There's a birthday video?
This is
my birthday. By the way, it's a very happy day. But the truth is, almost every day for me is a happy day. So let's see. I'm very touched. All right, here we go.
What's up, Mr. Prager? Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Dennis.
Happy birthday, and thank you for everything you've done and continue to do for our country.
Happy birthday, Mr. Prager.
Happy birthday, Mr. Prager.
Happy birthday, Dennis.
Thank you so much for making a difference in America by teaching us our history and how to preserve our freedom.
You have a kind, courageous, and beautiful soul. And we need you now more than ever.
Thank you for that you started PragerU.
Thank you for everything that you do to help support, educate, and inspire not only the youth of America, but people of all ages around the world.
On your special day, I'd like to thank you for all your wisdom, encouragement, and especially your dedication to the future of our great country.
Thank you for all you've done with PragerU to inspire the next generation of Americans to just love this country and to love freedom.
We greatly appreciate it, and I hope you have a great birthday and many more.
Thank you for being an inspiration for me and so many others.
Hope you have an awesome birthday.
Happy birthday. God bless you.
And on behalf of all of the military brats out there, I salute you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. Prager.
That's really
happy
sweet.
Happy birthday to you.
I do a little better with insults than with compliments. That's very sweet. Thank you to made the effort and all the beautiful sentiments. I'm very touched. Thank you. What do I press? I have no idea. To get our video question. By the way, I do believe everybody's birthday should be a special day. You get it once a year. It's like you own that day. And I hope people do something special. Somebody does something special for you on your birthday. All right, video question. Obviously from the PragerU office. This was a visitor, is that correct?
Yes, a volunteer.
Volunteer, great.
Hi, Dennis. My name is Michael, and I'm 20 years old. I go to Cal State San Bernardino.
I'm from Upland, California, and my question for you is, out of everything that's going on right now in our culture, our society, what would be the number one thing that we need to do in order to win back the culture and turn the tide?
So number one, I can't fully answer. Let me see if I can do this well. I didn't. I was so proud of myself, but I didn't. So the number one thing to win back the culture, well, the number one thing is to figure out what's happened. You can't solve a problem if you don't define the problem. It's a very important thing. In a nutshell, there is a true counter-revolution. We had an American Revolution in the 1770s, and we are having a counter-revolution in the 21st century. It started way back in the 20th century to undo that revolution. There are many revolutions in the 20th century and in the 19th and in the 18th. In the 18th century, there were two revolutions, the American and the French. The left followed the French Revolution and the Americans followed the American Revolution. One of the biggest, if not the biggest difference, well, two huge differences. The American Revolution was rooted in a belief in God. Our Declaration of Independence says that our rights come from the Creator. There's no such statement in the French Revolution. French Revolution was anti-God. Priests were killed. Churches were burned. Reason and science were substituted for religion. And, of course, it ended up a bloody, horrible event, the French Revolution. The American Revolution ultimately created the freest country in the history of the world. And the French ended up building a Statue of Liberty, but it didn't build it for itself. It built it for the United States of America. The other great difference is the emphasis on equality. And the French Revolution aim of having everyone end up equal. We both believe that we're all equal human beings in the sense of our dignity and our preciousness, and most important, equal before the law. But the French Revolution wanted equality of result, and we understood, the American founders understood, that you cannot have equality of result along with freedom. You have one or the other. In order to have equality of result, you must, in fact, not only not allow freedom, you must end up violent. The only way to have everybody have the same amount of property is by confiscating the property of those who have more. That's violent. So that is why the French Revolution ended up with violence. It was anti-God, and it was pro-equality of result. So that's one way of defining the problem. I said that's the first thing you have to do. We have a system called the American Trinity. That's the name I gave it in my book, Still the Best Hope, which explains America and explains the left. The American Trinity is E Pluribus Unum, from anyone, liberty, and in God we trust. We need to restore that, or we don't have an America. How do we do that? By speaking out. If everyone who believed in liberty and in the Judeo-Christian value system, the finest value system ever devised, spoke out, we would in fact win. People are afraid, and I understand their fear. They're afraid of being fired. They're afraid of losing. Many parents don't speak out. They're afraid of losing their child. You know how many children don't speak to parents because the parent is a conservative, or God forbid the parent vote for Donald Trump? Whatever you think of Donald Trump, if you stop speaking to a parent because the parent voted for Donald Trump, you're a bad human being. It's not easy for me to say a person is bad. How you treat your parents is a very, very big deal. I ought to talk about that. Put that down I've devoted my life to trying to spread the Ten Commandments. I have a little motto. If you really want to defund the police, there is a way. Get everybody to observe the Ten Commandments. Then you won't need any police. So we have to spread the word, and people have to stand up for what they believe. If your school is abusing children by sexualizing them at the age of 5, which is now common in urban centers, you have to fight back. In my opinion, you have to take your child out of the school. By the time you win, your child will have been badly affected. There's a lot to do. And one other thing, I don't hesitate in saying this. You have to help the fighters. Not everybody can fight, but everybody can help the fighters. So help PragerU with a donation. This month, in any event, is fundraising month. PragerU.com. Helping the fighters in a war is the same as fighting. The troops cannot fight without supplies. Okay. Sandy Rogers, Greer, South Carolina. 49 years ago, I married a library. Everywhere we've lived, we've had to build bookshelves for all our books. I'm listening to your wisdom, but find myself checking out the books behind you on the fireside chats. Explain some of those books and what you like to read. Keep up the good work. You're making a difference. Hello, Sandy in South Carolina. So behind me, I don't know exactly what's behind me, but I'm sure some books in Hebrew are behind me because I've studied the Bible in the Hebrew all of my life. So that's why you would see some of that. And Otto is leaving. I told you I had a feeling this would happen. So look, not bad. He stayed 22 minutes. Otto, be well. Take care. The patter of his feet. I love it. So that's some of what you see behind me. Name can you name any books behind me as well?
I see something that says Jeremiah on it.
Oh, Jeremiah. So there's a lot.
Yeah.
This room, I have about 6,000 books. This room only has about 1,000. And a big chunk of them are about on religion. So that would probably help answer your question. By the way, even if you don't read books, you should have books in one of the rooms of your house. It is healthy for you to see books, your children to see books, and visitors to see books. It's a very important statement to make. Even if they're just decoration, do it. It's a statement that you think ideas and truth are important. Get a bookcase, then get 2 bookcases. Okay, let's see. Carol 53, Standpoint, Idaho. I'm an older PragerU student. That's true. Most are young. Yet you are more silver than I am, actually more white. What insights do you have for those of us entering the third of our lives? You live a vibrant, productive, purpose-filled life. What is it that keeps you so energetic? I think about that a lot because I have the same amount of energy I had when I was 25, maybe more. So I think, to be honest, I think part of it is just good luck. I've been given good genes. My parents were utterly vibrant till about 90. My mom died at 89. My dad at 96. I think there's a luck element. I don't ever deny that there's luck in life. I know a lot of religious people don't like to hear that because they feel it's all God's doing. But even if it's God's doing, it's still your luck. Even if, let's say, so you get cancer at 50 and you say, God, for whatever reason, has dictated that I get cancer. It's not your good luck that God chose you for cancer. There may be ultimate reasons that you'll find out in the afterlife, but it would be odd to say, am I lucky God chose to give me cancer? It would sound odd. I acknowledge there's luck. I just read this week, it's haunted me. I forgot what state. I think it was Illinois, but I'm not sure. A mother and four children were killed by a driver driving in the wrong direction. Can you imagine the father? God, the pain of losing one child, losing his wife and four children. That's bad luck, my friends. So I never have denied luck. I'm very committed to truth. I know that sounds very corny, but I am. I'm very real, and I want to know life in its full reality. Happy, not happy, whatever the news is, I want to know the truth. The truth is there's good luck and bad luck. There is. I've had a lot. I mean, I've had real issues of pain in my life, but I've had basically a very lucky life. And I acknowledge that. But that's not the whole reason on the question you asked about the energy level and so on. I have a profound sense of purpose. I have kindred spirits. I have everything you should have, ideally. I have unbelievably good friends, people I love and who love me. I have a wonderful wife. I have wonderful children. I have wonderful grandchildren. Notice I haven't said brilliant on anybody. They may well be. It's not what I monitor. So I have weekly religious services. In my case, a synagogue. In fact, synagogue I help build. And I have a community. I have everything that apparently helps people lead an energetic and happy life. And by the way, all of that people can have. All of this, all of those things are available: a sense of purpose, friends, religious community. They're all available to anybody who seeks them. And you should seek them. I've always said on the radio, you should try to find friends the way you tried to find a spouse. Date for friends like you dated for a spouse. Okay. Susan in Glencoe, Illinois. With so many women choosing not to remarry after divorce, how do you suggest a mother instill masculine traits that might have originally been taught by the father? Well, it's an interesting thing about choosing not to remarry. I'm a big fan of people marrying, but I'll leave that aside. Figure out, to answer you in a nutshell, because I could spend a lot of time on this, figure out what it is that you would define as masculine traits. And then work accordingly. My wife was a single mom for many years, of four children, two of her own and two of her sister who died in her 30s of cancer. And she developed masculine boys. She did a great job. And also two girls. So it certainly can be done. It's not that easy. I'll give you a statement that my wife made to her son. One of her sons is autistic, so it wouldn't have applied, but to her non-autistic son. She said to him at, I think, a pretty early age, if you've ever committed a crime and got arrested, don't waste your one phone call on me. That's tough for a parent to say. She was tough love, and she's got a really wonderful son there. The autistic one is wonderful too, as it happens, but we'll talk about the non-autistic one. She did not squelch this guy. I am 100% opposed to helicopter parents. A lot of men are not developing masculine kids. They're a helicopter parent like the mother. You don't have to go to every soccer game of your kid. Just for the record, let your kid enjoy the game and play the game and not have mommy and daddy cheering the whole time. How many people advise that? Don't go to all your kids' games. I was on my high school basketball team, and I must tell you, I actually preferred if my parents didn't come to the games because I didn't want to think of myself as mommy and daddy's kid, but rather as Dennis. And it's worked out. I grew up to be Dennis, not mommy's boy or daddy's boy. Tough, you gotta develop tough, kind, but tough, resilient people. Those are some of the traits that we call masculine. I mean, they should be developed in girls too, for that matter. I did a show that my radio show has been invaluable in my understanding life because of feedback from so many people, as I mentioned earlier. I once did one of my male-female hours, one of the hours of my radio show. Each week is called the male-female hour. So I once did it on this question. Call me up if you're a woman. Just want women to call in. How do you define masculine? It was fascinating. I wonder if you'll resonate with this. I say virtually every single one, the chief word that came to mind was responsible.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on board?
Yeah.
That's what I think. There's nothing more masculine than a man who is responsible. First for himself, as Jordan Peterson puts it, with whom I just spent a week in Florida. I'll tell you about that another time. As Jordan Peterson puts it, make your bed. That's a good one. We're good, I guess, huh?
Yep.
Well, I've always said it is better for people to want more than to leave before you're done. So, on my birthday, I want to say this whole thing is a gift to me. This whole PragerU, Fireside Chat, the terrific people that I've met, the donors, the Prager Force, the staff. It's been a tremendous gift. See you next week. Thank you for watching this video. To help keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.